Like pretty much everyone else with disposable income, it seems, Chris and I have decided that we deserve to spread our opinions among the masses. We seem to think that we have enough information about the NHL that we can prognosticate what will happen in the next 10 months. We're probably going to fail miserably, but hey, that's what the internet is all about. Failing miserably. I'm Jason Carrillo.
And I'm Chris Withers.
And we are
Pucked in the Head.
Thank you for the theme music. As always, that is Sofa Surfer Girl from the Orchid Highway. You can listen to their music at orchidhighway.com or check out iTunes to download their music. I'm here with Chris Withers.
Jason, good to be back as always. It's 2 weeks from training camp.
Less than a month to go.
It's been a long, long, long summer. Finally, it is pouring with rain outside once more, and we can talk hockey without feeling like idiots in the middle of summer.
Right now, we're going to talk about the Northeast Division.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really get to see these teams a lot here in Vancouver.
Well, a little bit more than the other two divisions, because the Canadian teams tend to match up home and home with the other Canadian teams in the league. As always, we are only getting about half the number of Canucks games on the CBC that as they play the Habs or the Leafs.
So we're going to start with the Buds. What's that sound, Chris? Do you know what that means? We have something that registered on the douchometer.
Is it douchometer or is it douchometer?
It's the douchometer.
Okay.
The reason I can say that is because I invented the damn thing.
The douchometer it is. Ladies and gentlemen, today's comment that registered on the douchometer, Dion Phaneuf of the Toronto Maple Leafs has said that they are a playoff team.
Now, did he say they're a playoff team in 2014? Or did he actually stipulate a playoff team
I don't know that he stipulated when they were going to make the playoffs, but the intent...
The implication
was that they were going to make the playoffs this year.
So, well, let's talk about the Buds a little bit. Now, last year, they finished 29th overall. The only team to have fewer points than them, the Edmonton Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
They finished dead last in their conference. They had 30 wins, 38 losses, 14 overtime losses, for a grand total of 74 points. They were a minus 53 as a team. They only scored 214 goals, but they allowed 267.
Well done.
This was a poor hockey team last year.
They were terrible. They had Phil Kessel and a bunch of beer league guys.
Yeah, just an awful, awful team. Now, Brian Burke has worked really hard. He's been the GM there for just over 20 months, almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's worked really hard to shore up the back end. This has been a problem in Toronto for almost 30 years. They have had a crappy defense.
Yeah.
And they've had decent goaltenders to bail out that defense. Even going back as far as Felix Potman, Curtis Joseph. These guys, even Mike Palmatier. I mean, Mike Palmatier had Boreas Salming. Who else?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, from the old glory years of the Leafs, they had good defense. And they have not had a good defense in 30 years.
I don't know if Dion Phaneuf was how I would go about addressing that issue. But
now, there is a question of Dion Phaneuf. He's got a huge ego. That mm-hmm. was always the problem in Calgary. You give a guy with the huge ego the C.
If you want to stroke that ego, putting him in Toronto and giving him the C is the way to go. So I'm sure he'll be happy there.
Now, he's either going to be brilliant, and he's gonna bring these guys back to the playoffs. He's going to look good if he does, because he promised it. Look at the legend of Mark Messier grew exponentially when he promised a game win.
How long has he been there, though? I mean, Phaneuf was there for a decent chunk of last year.
This is his first full season. The first time, like, he's actually there for the young guys at the beginning of the season, and he is the guy.
All right, so we're going to give him a full season before we talk too much shit about him?
Well, we can certainly talk shit about him. I mean, I don't think promising a playoff berth makes him a douche. He was a douche coming in. Like, Dion Phaneuf is a douche.
That's fair enough. Playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, then, is the perfect spot for him.
Now, is Brian Burke going to stroke that ego, or is Brian Burke going to hit him head on like a Mack truck? I mean, this is not a guy who's known for stroking egos.
Burkey never pulls his punches. He's given the C to the best player on the team if he plays up to his potential. The problem with Dion Phaneuf is he hasn't been doing that for a while.
Well, we're going to see if that happens. Now, Brian Burke has also upgraded in goal. Mm-hmm. He's got Jean-Sebastien Giguère, who is, you know, Stanley Cup winner, Conn Smythe winner.
Yep.
Big contract, though. Jonas Gustafsson, the monster. Now, he didn't play all that well last year. He didn't play all that poorly last year. He had a crappy team in front of him.
Yeah, no, he had some shining moments.
But when you give up 53 more goals than you score, there's a problem. Now, what has Burkey done? He has kept Thomas Cabrelle because he didn't get the offers that he wanted. Cabrelle, is he going to deliver? He's got potential to be a great defenseman. He's not the number one guy anymore. He's like the number three guy.
Well, and I don't know. I've never thought that Cabrelle should be the number one guy. I don't think he's good enough to be a...
Exactly. So as a number three guy behind Mike Komisarek and Dion Phaneuf, is this going to be a season where he really shines?
It could be.
Possibly. He's in a contract year, right?
Yeah. Boy, I can't see him playing for Toronto next year. He's going to be playing for a big contract somewhere else.
Right, but he said only TO. He doesn't want to play anywhere else. So either he's going to retire, he's going to move to Europe, or he's going to play in TO again. But he's got to put up numbers this year.
Yeah.
Mike Komisarek, of course, injuries last year. He needs to prove that he moved from Montreal for a reason. Because he's got a decent payday there, too.
Yeah.
Look at this D. Phaneuf, Komisarek, and Cabrelle. And then they've also got François Beauchemin. Luke Shen, who should step up. He's 1 year older, got a little bit more meat on his bones. Jeff Finger, he's an overpaid depth guy, but he's a depth guy.
Yeah. No, he's right? Vastly overpaid.
Brett Lebda, good depth signing by Burke. Mm-hmm. Good depth. Carl Gunnarsson, now here, this is an interesting guy. Rookie last year from Sweden. He played 43 games. He's the only defenseman on the Buds who was a plus. He was a plus eight on a team that gave up 53 more goals than they scored. He was a plus eight in 43 games.
That's interesting.
That is amazing. And this guy's only 23 years old.
Now, out of those guys, how many were actually there last year, though? How many came in at the deadline? Just Phaneuf and...
Well, Komisarek actually signed before last season, but he was injured a lot.
Right.
Right? Because he was a free agent signing in the offseason last year.
All right.
Luke Shen was obviously a rookie. He's going to blossom, according to the Buds. So anyway, D, good D for the first time. On paper, they've got a good D for the first time in a long time. I think the Maple Leafs may surprise some people this year. Forwards, though, that's where it falls down. Okay, you got Phil Kessel. They signed Christopher Stieg.
Good signing.
They've got Colby Armstrong, Grabowski. Colton Orr is still going to be punching people out and providing the odd goal.
Yeah.
They've got Kulamant, but they don't have a lot of depth on forward.
No. They've still got the same problem that they had last year, is there's nobody to play with Kessel, really.
There's nobody to score any goals. So you've got a good signing in Versteeg, but he's like a good third-line guy.
Yeah. Stepping him up even to the second line is stretching it a little bit.
Stretching it. So they don't have a lot of depth on forward. However, they're going to bring their goals against down remarkably, I think.
Well, I mean, Boston... last year made the playoffs with one of the worst offenses in the league.
The second worst offense in the league, which is a good lead-in to the Boston Bruins. They picked up Nathan Horton last year. Dennis Wiedemann wasn't playing very well, so they shipped him off to Florida and they picked up Nathan Horton.
Yeah.
Does he hear a who in Boston?
Does Horton hear a who? Horton is going to be outstanding in Boston, I think.
Yeah?
He's one of those players that, because of the schedule that the NHL had for a while where they hardly ever had East-West matchups, mm-hmm. A lot of us don't know. He's a really good player.
Now, he got 62 points 4 years ago.
Yeah.
31 goals, 31 assists.
Yeah.
And he really hasn't done that since.
Well, he was concussed rather heavily.
But... Speaking of concussions, Mark Savard, back for a full season, they hope. He came back just in time for the playoffs last year. He wasn't superb, but he wasn't bad. He
scored that big OT goal, dancing around like an idiot. That was a great clip.
He has to put away critics who are upset with that deal.
Mm-hmm.
With all the talk about front-end loaded contracts over the offseason, he's got a lot of pressure on him to perform.
I don't know that he's got that much more than he's had before. I mean, he's been their big guy for a couple of years now.
Milan Lucic.
Also coming off injury.
But he is like the prototypical Bruins forward. He's the guy that they would love to have him step in, score 25 goals, and hit like crazy every game.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, he does that. Question is, can he put 25 goals in, on a regular basis?
He's got the hands. I mean, he showed that with the Giants that he can play like that.
But can he do that at this level?
Well, he showed flashes. And they've used him mostly as the banger and the crasher. You know, they haven't given him the offensive role.
Well, the Bruins up front, they don't look too bad. They've added Nathan Horton late last year, as we said. They also picked up somebody who may or may not make the team, Tyler Seguin. Potential in this kid.
Yeah.
People in Boston are pretty happy about this. The Maple Leafs are not, because Boston got this pick, second overall, when the Maple Leafs got Phil Kessel.
Yes. And they also, if I'm not mistaken, get their first pick next year. Or at least a second.
I didn't look that up. I don't know about that. But Tuukka Rask and this second overall pick is what the Bruins got for Phil Kessel. And Tuukka Rask is probably going to be their number one goalie this year.
Well, Tim Thomas, I mean, did he win the Vezina 2 years ago, or was he a runner-up for it?
I don't recall.
He's certainly been in the mix.
He had an off year last year.
Yes.
From what he had done the past couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that Tuukka Rask is going to be the number one
guy. Well, they might share equally. I don't know. But Tim Thomas sat on the bench a lot in the second half of last season.
Yeah, he's a very streaky guy. So
goaltending is a big question in Boston right now. Their defense, they've got two big guys. One really big guy. Zdeno Chara.
Yeah.
And Dennis Seidenberg, and after that, meh.
Falls off, yeah.
It falls off. It's the forwards where the Bruins don't look so bad. They've got Nathan Horton, Tyler Seguin, Mark Savard, Milan Lucic, David Krejci, Marco Sturm, Blake Wheeler, Mark Recchi, Patrice Bergeron. All of those last four are on contract years.
Yeah, I mean, the concern for the Bruins is going to be, can they stay healthy? Because, I mean, they've got Savard, Horton, Bergeron, Lucic.
All coming off big injuries.
All have had huge injuries within the last couple of years.
And that was a big concern in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Was they just did not have the depth.
If they can keep all of that that forward core together for most of the year, they're going to be very good offensively.
And even Zdeno Chara broke his jaw last year.
Yeah.
So they've had a lot of injury problems.
Mm-hmm.
Ottawa made a big splash on their they had the 22nd ranked power play last year, but they went out and fixed that problem because they got Sergei Gonchar.
He's about all he can do at this point is run a power play effectively.
He's
getting so old that
I think this guy, he's still going to play at least 20 minutes a game. He's going to take that power play up the rankings.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
I mean, Gonchar, Spezza, Alfredson, Kovalev.
Gonchar is getting, I think, into Matthew Schneider territory, where he's still a very effective power play defenseman, but I question his effectiveness now 5-on-5.
I think that a big problem for the Senators last year, I mean, they didn't have a bad team at all. They finished just a few points back of the Sabres for the lead of the division.
Yeah.
But they had bad goals against. Like, they were minus 13 as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've lost Volchenkov, the shot blocker. So who knows what's going to happen to their penalty kill.
So do you think that they are going to improve that goals against based on acquiring Gonchar?
Well, they're going to improve their goals for.
Yeah.
Are they going to improve their goals against? I don't know. Volchenkov was a big part of that back end. So they've got Gonchar, Filip Kuba, Chris Phillips, Erik Karlsson, who you're really high on him.
I love Karlsson, yeah. He's a great offensive defenseman.
The big problem I have with the Senators, though, is their goaltending. Pascal Leclerc has potential, but
he was injured most of last year.
He played in Columbus, yeah. So we didn't really get to see him.
Brian Elliott stepped up last year. He certainly wasn't the reason they made the playoffs, though.
They kind of backed their way into the playoffs, but both of those goalies, Pascal Leclerc and Brian Elliott, are in contract years. So who knows if that will affect their play.
It usually does.
Usually.
Yeah.
But the front end doesn't look so bad, especially the first couple of lines. Spezza, Alfredson, Kovalev, McCulloch, Fisher, you know, the bottom six, not so much, but they do have a couple of ex-Canucks on the roster, Jarkko Ruutu and Ryan Shannon. All I know is that teams with ex-Canucks tend to do fairly well.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, sometimes they do better than the Canucks themselves.
It's like the Cleveland Indians of baseball. I mean, they just export their great players all over the league, and teams do fantastic with them.
Right. So let's go on to the Buffalo Sabres then. The Buffalo Sabres won the division last year. They've got two big trophy winners in their lineup.
Yeah, they've got Ryan Miller, who won the Vezina.
Won the Vezina last year. They've also got Tyler Myers, who took the Calder on the back end. Do the Sabres have the best 1-2 punch in the Nets in the NHL?
With Miller and Lalim? They've got to be up there. Certainly got to be in the conversation. Miller almost won a gold medal single-handedly for the Americans.
Single-handedly?
Well, he almost stole it for them.
He certainly was more solid than either Martin Brodeur or Roberto Luongo last mm-hmm. year in the second half of the season and in
yeah. Now, it didn't,
the Olympics.
It didn't quite carry through to the NHL playoffs, but I don't know that he had quite the team playing behind him that they're playing in front of him that he did.
Look at the D. Craig Rivet is their top guy, but is he going to start the season? He's injured, isn't he?
That I don't know.
Jordan Leopold, they signed him from the Pens, and he's the kind of guy that Buffalo really likes on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's solid. He's not flashy. They want their forwards to do the forward work, and they want their defensemen to pretty much be stay-at-home most of the time.
Yeah.
And Jordan Leopold is that guy.
Yeah.
And the same with Monitor and Morrison. They're both kind of stay-at-home, shut-down guys. Buffalo has got a good formula there.
And it's been a while since they missed the playoffs, I think.
And they score goals.
Yeah. Also, let's not discount the fact that they are going to finally shed the Buffaslug.
Are they getting rid of that?
They have gotten rid of the Buffaslug. They are going back to their old, or at least similar design to what they came into the league with.
Right. With the actual sabers.
The crossed sabers with the Buffalo.
Right. So that's not going to be their third jersey anymore. That's going to be their primary logo.
That is their primary logo.
Well, I don't quite think that the Buffaslug was what held them back. But I do think this is a solid team.
You know what? I think that there's got to be a psychological issue when players have to pull on a hideous jersey.
Okay, now, we are going to be talking about the Southeast Division in a couple of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to say the same thing when we talk about the Carolina Hurricanes? Because they've got a toilet bowl flush on their jersey.
Hey, yeah.
They want a cup with that toilet bowl.
They want a cup with a great team, but what have they done otherwise?
They want a cup with a toilet bowl on their jersey, man. I'm just saying. So anyway, their forwards in Buffalo are the same as last year. Thomas Vanek, Tim Connolly, Jochen Hecht, Jason Pominville, Drew Stafford, Derek Roy.
I believe it's Hecht, but move on.
Okay. Paul Gostad, Rob Niedermeyer, Mike Greer. I mean, this is a solid three lines.
Yep.
They are good up front. They are great in net. Their defense plays a sound game, let's say. It's not fancy. It's not sexy. But it works. This is a team that every year has the promise of doing something.
Yeah. Good. If Pominville can get back to the form that he had a couple of years ago when he was way up there in goals scored, and if Connolly can stay healthy, which has been an issue for him his whole career, then they're going to be really solid.
So this is a really solid division. And when we get into talking about the Habs,
mm-hmm.
the only team we haven't talked about yet, they, of course, let go in a very controversial move. Let go Yaroslav Halak.
Don't get it.
They sign Carey Price as their number one goalie, but they also sign two ex-Canuck backup goalies. Alex Auld and Curtis Sanford are both now Montreal Canadiens.
So you think they're going to do well because they've got ex-Canucks on the
team? I'm just saying.
All right.
But they're not making Alex Auld a number one like Ottawa tried to.
No.
He's a
serviceable backup. I mean,
he's a serviceable
backup. Sanford was a serviceable backup,
but he's not
too.
A number one.
No.
Right? So they're trying to give Carey Price, who is young, they're trying to say, you have the chance now to run with it, man.
It's dumb.
All right.
Halak took them to the conference semifinals.
Almost single-handedly. But, however, they also had amazing coaching during that run and very good team play.
He shut down Ovechkin and the Caps.
He did, but you know what? Ovechkin, it's not like Ovechkin was sent on 15 breakaways and he stopped them all. There were a lot of shots from the outside. I'm just saying, the Habs defense and forwards came together as a unit and they played the system perfectly.
All right.
Against both of those teams, the Penguins and the Caps. Yes, Halak was amazing. Do I think that Halak is going to turn into a Jerry Cheevers or a Patrick Roy or Martin Brodeur? No, I don't think that.
Well, we'll revisit this midseason when we find out how he does for the Blues.
Yes, we will. Some positives for the Habs. Andre Markov is back from injury. He was injured, of course, in the game one against Pittsburgh. Had a knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
He's back. And P.K. Subban, who took his place, is probably challenging for a big spot on the blue line, which includes Hal Gill, Josh George, Roman Hamrlik, Yaroslav Spachik, Matthew Carl is on the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good defensive core.
Yeah.
The Habs have good defense. I really want to talk about P.K. Subban. What do you think of this kid?
I think that it is worth their while to keep him on the team just for the emotion that he brings.
PK Subban, he only played 2 regular season games last year in February.
Yeah.
He's the first Hab in decades to score points in his first 2 games with the big club. But he only played 2 games in February. Then he was sent back down to the Hamilton Bulldogs. He had 53 points in 77 games. That's pretty good for a defenseman, yeah.
Yeah.
Plus 46. Plus 46 with the Bulldogs.
In the AHL. Wow.
In the AHL. I think that's an AHL record, but don't quote me on that. 14 playoff games. He had 8 points and was a plus 2.
Yeah.
This is a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
He's still a rookie this year because he only played 2 games last year. Mm-hmm. He qualifies as a rookie. He was chosen, of course, in the second round in 2007. This guy's...
I want to see him play.
He's fast. He can headman the puck. He can stick handle. He can hit. This guy can do everything.
Yeah.
He's good.
And you know what? When you were watching the Habs games last year, when you heard the Bell Center crowd just start chanting his name, he was unbelievable in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of emotion is good for any team. So I think they should keep him.
And the Montreal crowd knows what they're what they're talking about. Knowledgeable crowd in Montreal. I'd really like to see a game in the Bell Center, actually. In the forwards, Camilleri, Gomez, Plekanec, Gionta, Kostitsyn, it's a good top 5.
Yeah.
But after that, it's just workmen, you know, workmanlike. Dustin Boyd, Tom Pyatt, Jeff Halpern, Travis Moen, Maxime Lapierre. These are the guys that came together and they just gelled as a team and they just worked at the Caps and they worked at the Penguins. This is the kind of top 5, bottom 5 crew that could come together and do some damage.
Yeah, I mean, they play great systems. I think that they'll make the playoffs as they did last year. I don't think they'll run away with anything, but...
The most exciting player on the team is easily PK Subban. I mean, this is where everybody in Montreal is really hoping this guy shines, of course. He's a preseason favorite to win the Calder Trophy. Do you know the last Montreal Canadian to win the Calder Trophy?
I'm going to say Roy. No?
No. Ken Dryden, 1972, is the last Montreal Canadian to win the Calder Trophy. And he also did it after a stellar run in the playoffs. He took the Canadiens to a Stanley Cup in 1971, broke up the Boston Bruins 1970-1972, and he was outstanding as a rookie. And then he came back and won the Calder Trophy afterwards, and that was the first time that had ever happened. So here are predictions for the Northeast Division.
Begin.
I have the Sabres winning the division again.
Okay.
I also have the Habs finishing in second place. I think Carey Price is going to pull it together, and that defense and the unit up front is going to pull them into second place in the division.
Okay.
Agree? Disagree?
I'm waiting for you to finish.
I've got the Senators on the bubble of the playoffs.
Which side of the bubble?
I think they're going to make the playoffs. I've got the Leafs golfing, but I think they're a threat to make the playoffs. I think they might do it, but I think they're going to be a point or two out. Okay. They're not going to be second to last in the league this year. I think they're going to be on the bubble of the playoffs there.
Interesting.
And I've got the Bruins finishing dead last in the division, which kills me because I grew up as a Bees fan. The
Bruins dead last, really?
Dead last in the division. Not in the league. In the division.
All right.
The Leafs are going to finish above the Boston Bruins. Thank you very much.
I think you're an idiot.
What do you got?
I'm not going to disagree with you. I think Buffalo's probably the best team in the division.
Yep.
I'll have them finishing again. Third place overall in the conference.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, you had the Senators on the bubble, but in the playoffs.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to put the Bruins in second place. I don't think they've changed enough to significantly alter what they did last year. I think the Habs are going to squeak into the playoffs again. The Leafs are going to be in fourth, and the Sens are going to finish dead last.
We both got the Sabres finishing first. I've got the Habs and Sens making the playoffs. Chris has got the Sabres finishing first and the Bruins.
Bruins and Habs to make the playoffs.
We both got the Leafs golfing. I've got the Bruins golfing and Chris has got the Sens for early tee times.
I don't think the Leafs are, for the record, going to be that close to the playoffs.
You don't think so?
No.
You think they're like 22nd overall?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like a few years ago where they lost in a shootout. I think they're going to be maybe 6-8 points out.
So that is our Northeast Division preview. We are going to come back in a few days with our Atlantic Division preview. I would like to say thank you, Chris Withers, for joining me. My name is Jason Carrillo. Thank you for listening to Pucked in the Head. You can find me on Twitter at just that, Pucked in the Head, all one word. You can also download our podcast on iTunes or go to our website at puckedinthehead.com. All right. Thank you very much, Chris. Hopefully, we'll be back in a couple of days with our Atlantic Division preview.
All right. Take care, Jason.
Ta-ta.
Someone couch in the lane. I heard the drunken voices dragging on some old refrain. But I'm climbing, I'm climbing back on the train. I can explain if you'll just let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon. I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, I'll see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the Spanish Main. But I'm alright, it's just a red wine. It's all too normal now. When once it seems so strange, time for a change. Change. Time for a change. Time for a change. Construction crane and I'm tearing. I'm tearing up the rules to the game. Now the moon's on the wane. I'm feeling slightly more sane. I'm riding shotgun with my stuntman and we're ready for fame. But I'm losing. I'm losing my grip on the reins. It's all too normal now. And once it seems so strange, time for.
And I are so excited, frankly, we're having to change our pants every 10 or 15 minutes or so.
And you know what? When you were watching the Habs games last year and you heard the where do they play?
Montreal?
No, the stadium fucked hard. What's it called? Is it the Bell Center?
Bell Center.
Yeah.
I'm going to change that later.
Okay.
Probably to include less pants wetting.